This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell. We're meeting the candidates, and our current candidate now joining us is Virginia Lee, who is running for Essex County Sheriff. Virginia, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and it's such a pleasure to be here with you today.
We are, now you're a licensed clinical social worker, and maybe I would love to have you tell us a bit about your background and then leading into why you are running for Essex County Sheriff.
Sure. So I am, as you mentioned, I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I've been working in community mental health for over 12 years now. And I've worked inside of quite a variety of institutions and settings. I've worked in detention centers, both in the U.S. here in Massachusetts as well as in Mexico. I've worked in schools and clinics, community clinics, you know, those primarily serving folks who are struggling with major mental illness, substance use challenges, and also folks who are severely economically disadvantaged in our communities. I've worked in intensive in-home family therapy as well, working with folks who are in youth who are at high risk of involvement with the criminal justice system. And I've also spent the entirety of my professional career as a bilingual clinical provider of treatment. So, and then also director of training as well for other social workers. So my experience is varied, and but it's really revolved very closely around this idea of treatment and rehabilitation. And most recently, last year, I was also hired by the City of Lynn as the consultant to support the city, the mayor's office, the police department, the Lynn Racial Justice Coalition, and other interested parties in the city in forming their first armed crisis response team that's been working, you know, to improve public safety and access to the various forms of public safety in the North Shore and in Lynn. So I come to this question of the sheriff's job by way of an accurate reading of what the sheriff's work is in 2022, because most of us, when we think about the sheriff, this image of the old Western movie comes to mind, and the 10-gallon hat riding around arresting everybody. But in reality, the job of the sheriff in Massachusetts counties is really the person who is responsible for the jail. So this is the place where people go to ostensibly get better, to rehabilitate after making poor choices that impact public safety, so that when they leave, they have better tools, more supports, and a different mindset coming back into the community. So essentially, the sheriff is the person who takes over for law enforcement once law enforcement has done its job. And the sheriff's job is really as the chief rehabilitation officer of the county. Well, rehabilitation, treatment, reentry supports, case management, social services, this is my bread and butter, and this is why I'm running.
Virginia, I'm going to allow myself to digress. You mentioned working in facilities in the U.S. and Mexico. So what's similar and what's not the same in your experiences there? So again, I'm digressing here a little bit.
Sure. Well, that's interesting. So I worked in youth detention facilities both in the U.S. and Mexico, and that's not different. you know, I lived in Ciudad Juarez for several years right out of college, which at the time that I was living there, this was the murder capital of the world, experiencing a tremendous uptick in narco trafficking and drug cartel related violence. And I worked inside of a detention center. And when I got there, there were few to no resources as far as education programming, sports programming, literacy programming, activities for the youth who were detained there. And so I started from the ground up an education program, brought in, sports coaching, and, all the activities that you would imagine seeing in, residential facilities in the U.S., they really didn't exist there. And so I was responsible for bringing that program to some of the facilities in Juarez. And so the question of what's available is in some spaces in other countries, the warehousing mentality that we have had here in the U.S. for a very long time about just sort of warehousing people in detention facilities persists in these other spaces. And of course, we do still sometimes end up, even if we don't want to, we end up having a bit of a mentality about warehousing folks as well in the U.S. But it's very stark, the difference between the juvenile detention facilities in the U.S. and Mexico.
Yeah. Virginia, your platform has kind of three prongs to it, so I want to have you feel free to expand on each one of those. The first one being jails as clinical treatment centers. Now, obviously, you've touched a bit on this already, but maybe share more with our listeners about that part of your platform.
Sure. Well, so the reality is that when people are spending time at the county level incarcerated, they're there for one of two reasons. Either that person has been charged with a crime and is awaiting their day in court, so they are waiting for their due process to take place. Or the person is serving a sentence, for lower level crimes of 2 years, 2.5 years or less. And oftentimes that sentences average about, a few months to several months. And primarily the people who are committing crimes at that level, at that lower level, it's really related to mental health, substance use, and crimes of poverty. So much so that even our state's most conservative sheriff has admitted that our county jails are more like hospitals than what we imagine jails to be. So if you imagine that, Bill, we've got the largest treatment facility in the county for substance use, mental health, and yet we have the leadership of this institution has no human services or clinical experience whatsoever. And we've never put someone in our jail leadership who has that kind of experience. And then we wonder why our recidivism rates are just astronomical. So essentially, what social workers do is we don't just try to put a name on something. We observe what's already happening and we meet people where they are. So the reason that I say jails as treatment facilities is not because I want the jails to be treatment facilities. It's because they already are, but we aren't serving people and acknowledging that that's what's really happening.
Gotcha. All right. One of the other prongs, if you will, is keeping families together. And maybe elaborate on that piece.
Sure. So we need to elect leaders who are willing to follow the data and support programming, policies, and practices that support the ultimate goal of reducing recidivism in the county. Reducing recidivism means many things. Recidivism means the rate at which people find themselves back in the corrections system, within a given period of time, in this case 1 year. And we can reduce, when we reduce recidivism, the consequences are multifaceted. First and foremost, on public safety, when we reduce recidivism, we prevent future victims. We keep our communities safer. And also, and very importantly, we reduce the amount of people that our taxpayers have to fund the housing inside of our jails. So recidivism, and when people are back in the system, is a very expensive problem. Here in the county of Essex, it costs $77,000 every single year to house one person in Middleton. So when we follow the evidence and choose our practices, policies, and positions about that actually follow the evidence and are effective at reducing recidivism, we're making the anti-crime choice, we're making the pro-victim choice, and we're also making the fiscally responsible choice. So the reason I sort of set this up by saying all of that is because the research shows that when families remain connected with loved ones who are incarcerated, recidivism is reduced. So, for example, right now in Essex County, phone calls are charged at exorbitant rates, falling on the backs primarily of family members who are remaining in contact with their loved ones who are incarcerated. This is a practice that, in my opinion, is not only morally unacceptable, it's also antithetical to the research that says that if you want to reduce recidivism, you should not make more barriers for families to remain connected. You should remove barriers for families to be connected. I have a very strong stance that once I'm sheriff, I will remove the cost of, I will elect to make no-cost phone calls for families to their loved ones. And I believe that that actually is the right stance to have with respect to reducing recidivism. Additionally, I think that families should have access to clinical support. So in other words, family therapy with their loved ones rather than just, what we imagine visits to be, whether they're video or whether they're phone calls or whether they're in person. Families should have the opportunity to actually engage in clinical support with the presence of clinicians to help that family connectedness and the, healing of oftentimes what are, traumatic situations occur, so that when people leave, they've already started to do some of that therapeutic work and are in better shape to be supported by their families when they leave.
Gotcha.
We're talking with Virginia Lee, who is a candidate for Essex County Sheriff, and going over her platform with her. One other prong of that three-prong platform that's on your website would be restoring integrity in the justice system. So explain that one for our listeners as well.
Sure. So actually along the same lines, of these question of phone calls and, why we have this practice of charging exorbitant rates to profit-seeking vendors with respect to calls. Social workers have a very strong code of ethics. Our code of ethics is clear, and it speaks clearly about conflicts of interest, dual relationships, and discourages such relationships, because when you are working in any kind of leadership position or as a provider, you need to make sure that you are clear and free to be holding the call of the office that you hold as your only focus, as your singular priority. Right now in the Essex County Sheriff's Department, we have a practice of nepotism that has been taking place. And we also have a practice of campaign, accepting campaign contributions from their vendors, which provide services to the jail. Thousands of dollars in campaign contributions have come, for example, from Securus, the telecom company that actually, you know, provides the telecom communications service to inmates to be in connection with their family members, and also charges those exorbitant rates. And so we can see here where there's a conflict of interest. We have the evidence from research that suggests that, you know, charging families for phone calls is not a good move in the service of reducing recidivism. We have the relationship that the sheriff has with the telecom company here, where, you know, he relies heavily on telecom company supporters to, you know, gain re-election. And then we also have the reality that is that the sheriff has the power to make different choices, but they just, he's just not. And so I think it's really important to ensure that our systems are clean and free of these kinds of conflicts of interest, not to mention, you know, hiring family members in the number two position inside of the department, that all represent deeply concerning dual relationships that, as sheriff, I would strongly commit to avoiding at all costs.
Virginia, the job is a complex job. It strikes me there's a lot of motion going on from day to day. It seems like there's a lot of headwinds too, kind of paddling upstream, if you will, kind of a job. It's a challenging job, wouldn't you say? I mean, and I'm sure it's a challenge that you want to take on, but it is a very challenging job, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. You know, being the chief rehabilitation officer inside of an 800,000 person county is absolutely a complex and difficult job. And it's precisely because this is human services work that I feel so strongly that we need to have a human services professional who understands the complexities of aftercare programming, who understands the complexities of reentry supports, of treatment, of, you know, the kinds of nuances that people who are building the foundation for transforming their lives really need. You know, this is not a law enforcement job by any stretch of the imagination. And what's so important is that our sheriffs stay in their lane and recognize and lead the county by doing the job that is being asked of them, which is the care and the custody and the treatment of prisoners in the county. It's necessary to have leadership that is not, you know, cowboying around the county on other missions that are not related to the central focus of this job. And so we absolutely need to recognize the complexity of the job, and we need to put leadership who's going to be laser-focused on the outcomes that we are seeking, because those are the very outcomes that actually make law enforcement's job easier, that save taxpayer money, and they give people the opportunity at a second chance of life.
Well, Virginia, I've been firing the questions at you. As a final closing comment from you, open-ended comment, is there anything else you'd like to share with us in our final moments together here on this interview?
Oh, well, I'm just so glad to be here with you today, Bill, and I want to just remind folks that this is a primary race only. There is no Republican challenger this year. Anyone who is registered as a Democrat or as an unenrolled voter can vote and pull a Democratic ballot this year. September 6th is the primary date. You have multitude of ways to vote this year and cast your ballot. You can mail in your ballot request form and mail in your ballot prior to making sure that it arrives at your city clerk's office on or before September 6th. And I just I humbly ask for all of your listenership to vote for me in this election. I'm the sheriff's race is at the bottom of the ballot, and we need all of the voters in the county to engage in this race and to make your voice be heard.
Well, Virginia, our goal is to try to let candidates and our guests share their story in their own words, more or less uninterrupted, if you will. And we appreciate you taking some time to do that for us and for our listeners. And thanks so much, and good luck on September 6th.
All right. Thank you so much. You take care.
Yep. All right. There she is. Virginia Lee, candidate for Essex County Sheriff. And I'm Bill Newell here on MSONewsSports.com.